Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to the 4WD podcast driven by Shelter. You're in for a treat here, 70 series part two with my good friend Ronnie and Jaden. Southern River Band let it ride. We met Cal, actually,
at
the Chrissy party. Great man. Our socials, the 4WD podcast on Instagram and all of our episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. Back to Cal. What a guy.
What a bloke.
He is an absolute rock star. Just had the...
He looked like a rock star.
He looks, looks the part, ripping fella, and was pumped that... His songs are part of what the 4WD podcast and Backchat are about. So cool to put a face to the name Cal at Southern River Band. So
it was.
We appreciate him being on board with us. But Ronnie, it's just been Christmas, mate. How's Chrissy Day?
Ooh.
The lead up.
Yeah, it was good, mate. I'm pretty wrecked after three
aren't
days
we
of
all?
Christmas.
Yeah.
How are you? How was your Christmas?
Yeah, good. It was good fun. We just, you know, plans are plenty this time of year. So. It's actually nice to be back in here chatting 4WD driving, but great family time and friends, all the rest of it. Plenty of
plenty
presents
of
under the tree. Yeah, there's a few late nights, a couple of shelters, not too many, but a couple. Pretty even balanced Christmas, which was good.
That sounds like a nice, relaxing, low key.
Yeah, it was. Kind of it Christmas. Was. Yeah. No, it was warm over here in WA though, so we're lucky to have a pool nearby. Were you at your place?
Yep. Didn't even get in the pool, actually. The kids got in the pool.
Yeah, righto.
The kids up three nights in a row, 11 o'clock a night. Whew.
Yeah.
So they're pretty wrecked today, so I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. It's actually with kids, a lot of my close friends have young children, and it's the magic of Christmas is all around when there's kids about, and it makes it actually quite fun to see how excited the kids get about it, because us adults can, or maybe not as a parent, but you know, you've got to create the magic,
it's the old elf on a shelf thing. Oh, man.
That's good. That is good stuff, that. Never around when I was younger, but.
Yeah, but look, after 20 days, mate, do you watch Yellowstone?
Yes.
Well, I saw this meme pop up and it was like, I sent it to the wife and it says, where should we move the elf next? And it said, take him to the train station.
Oh, yes. If anyone hasn't seen Yellowstone yet, go and get a taste of that reference, because that is a good show.
Yeah.
Hey, while Chrissy was obviously a great time for us, we just want to send our best wishes out to those over on the East Coast. So Vic, 100%. New South Wales, and especially Queensland and North Queensland have copped some really severe weather.
At an odd time of the year
Odd time of the year, quite scary stuff. So... We hope everyone up there is well. Hopefully the Christmas cheer spread through the communities up there when there probably wasn't a lot of reason. So wishing everyone all the best up there. Rafa, our good friend.
Yep.
In Cairns, we checked in with him. He's okay, but said there is a lot of water around.
There is.
Like you say, bad timing.
Yep. He sent me a few videos. He showed me one where the water was like almost bonnet high. And I said, oh, wow. So you actually drove through? And he goes, no, that was before... The road got closed.
Yeah, right.
So he says he's on a little island inside Cairns. And
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's scary stuff. I've seen a little bit. Because of the time of year, I hadn't seen the news. I hadn't seen going on. And I was only just having a quick flick through YouTube this morning, and I saw a few videos from a couple of content creators up that way, and incredible scenes. I almost felt bad that I hadn't been, you know, watching from afar, but it was... yeah, full on. So we wish everyone all the best up there, and hope that they're okay. But another thing I want to quickly touch on, as I get a little notification. Sorry about that through the years there, Jaden.
Was that from you, Jaden?
No, it wasn't actually.
No, that's not me.
Is, mate, with the four-wheel drive shows just gone, the most asked about person at the all three shows was your good mate, Torben.
Oh.
Now, a bit of a change in pace here from what we just covered, but can you give us an update on what Torbs is doing? Because I feel like we're quite good mates now and we hang out quite a bit, but I still haven't met your partner in crime, Torben.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't even there for Christmas this year, so you must have been too busy, but we are planning the Canning Stock route.
Right, okay.
So we have been in contact about that, and we've set some dates down.
Beautiful.
So it's just a matter of getting those permits now, and we need to get those extra permits for Channel 7.
Right, yep.
So the filming permits, which means that it makes it a bit easier for me. I don't have to apply for those being YouTube filming stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then we want to get hold of some TOs as well, so we can bring more in. But he's not too thrilled about the time of the year we're going, but I think he's more acclimatised than I am, because he said the other day it was 47 degrees in Newman.
Yeah, right.
But he came back to Perth the day after that day, so I'm
get his reprieve.
He's probably got a jacket on right now.
he's probably cold. He's only about 25 here, which has been shocking over the last. Yeah, it's been hot the last 2 weeks. But that's good for people to know that he's not far away, Torbs,
because
he was well sought after at those shows.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
to meet him. Jaden's just dropped in here. We encourage you to go and donate. Anyone that can afford to help out. Those in need, especially in North Queensland, I think is where they're most affected, I'd say. So, thoughts go out to them. If you can spare any change, that would be a good place to send it. Now, mate, we're here for the 70 series, Mark II, episode 2 on it. It's been a couple of weeks since we chatted about it.
It has.
I just want to get you sort of the off the rank here today. First off the rank is any new feelings since we last chatted. You're pretty positive.
Yeah. They're pretty... Interrogation time here.
He's blushing about the 70 series. He's getting nervous.
Mate, cartwheels.
Yeah,
cartwheels. It's
I'm loving this.
No backflips, but cartwheels.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. You were talking about you wanted to satisfy that V8 itch.
Yes.
You know? I don't think you should.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Look, there's a very revealing video coming out soon about how it is off-road, and honestly, it just kept ticking boxes. I was like, okay, well, this is where it's going to, something's going to reveal a weakness here.
Yeah.
Nope, no weakness. Just learning more about it. It's freaking good, mate. It's good. So a lot of people are like, why don't I put the 3.3 litre in? I was one of those people as well, but when you think about it, a 2.8 litre... with the same gearbox, Hilux is proven, Prado is proven, the engine's proven, the gearbox is more or less proven. The driveline itself is from a 70 series, that's also proven, and we spoke about last time the diff ratios. So it's really zippy on the roads, which means it gets from low speed to medium speed really fast, which means that...
Medium being 60 Ks. 60, 80,
even 100.
Yeah, okay.
That's probably where it tops out.
Yep.
That's where the gear ratio of a Hilux in the final gear will then go past it.
Yep.
And I think we spoke touched on that before as well. But I just think because of that, it's going to be interesting. We're going to find out soon how well it's going to tow.
Yes. That was part of what I wanted to get to today as well. So you haven't tried that yet.
No, not yet, because...
You haven't been set up with the rear bar or something, was that right?
Yeah. So with a 79, just to put this into context, with a 79 series, you put a rear tow bar on, it's just a bolt-on job.
Yeah.
And it's bloody heavy. You just use a couple of ratchet straps, you can get it on yourself. I had that idea with the 76 as well, not realizing that with a 76, you got to pull a bumper apart, you got to grind 5 mil of welds on either side, you got to get a cold chisel, knock some welded nuts off, then you got to drill them out. Then you got to fit the bloody thing and you got to drill some more holes. So, I unwrapped this box and then I was like, cool, I've got about 2 hours. I was like, not happening today.
Yeah, right.
So, it'll happen in a number of days.
Yeah.
I'll do it then.
Yeah, righto. So, when's this video coming out that you you said is going to be the...
The off-road one?
Yep.
It'll be the first Sunday after in the new year.
Righto, so a little New Year treat.
A little New Year treat.
I rammed it home last week, but I just want to reiterate, he is not faking this. This is genuine pleasure.
Yeah.
How you go about this car.
And the cartwheels in my head are, you know, having three cars, you know. I have to get rid of one of them at some point.
Yeah.
And now, it's I don't know. We'll find out,
the
won't we?
The decision is becoming more and more difficult. Have you had the family and the dog? Have you had everyone in there yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yep.
How'd you find that?
Good.
Or how'd they find that?
Oh, mate, the dog looks small in the back of a 76. Right. How much room is in the back of a 76, Jaden?
Fair bit.
Yeah. I mean, yours is probably loaded with drawers and stuff now.
Yeah, it's loaded with drawers. But yeah.
So like floor to roof.
Yeah,
just like width and...
Ah, righto.
Yeah, you could fit a few dogs in there.
Yeah.
You could fit a couple of Ridgebacks in there.
Jeez.
It's a 50... Well, my wife reckons she's 60 kilo in the back, time. You know? Yeah, Well, actually, she had a fair bit of Christmas ham and a couple other things, bit of smoked salmon. She's not too well today, I heard.
It's like the rest of us.
Oh, mate.
Okay, so that ticks the family, that sort of side of it then.
Definitely ticks...
I feel like that's a danger for people.
Well... Yeah,
not a danger. It's just one, it's a thought with the 76. Yeah.
The 76 is a family wagon.
Yep.
The Troopy is more seen as the two person, although you get them now with a 5-seater.
Yep.
You can't actually get them just as a 2-seater anymore, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
I'm certain because they deleted the bench seats. ADR said, no, not doing that anymore.
Yeah, okay.
So I got the last one of that, but then I converted it to a 4-seater anyway. And then... with the 79, so you either got a 79 dual cab and the 76 wagon. Those two, if you're looking at buying a 70 series, are the family setups, you know, because you got the 5 seats, you know.
Yep.
3 in the back, 2 in the front.
Righto.
But with the wagon, even more, like it's basically like a rough and rugged Prado. That's how I would describe it. And it is even more so now because it's got the auto, it's got the 2.8, It's not... I wouldn't recommend anyone buying it just to drive around in the city.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get a Prado.
That's a great prelude to my next question is, why would you, I suppose, recommend the 76 as opposed to a Prado? Because I'm thinking if they're a similar price for what I'm after, no-brainer to go the Prado still. What would be your main differences that would be 2.8 litre 76 is for you?
Yeah. Look, 2.8 litre 76 is for me because I will take a bush. I will do things to it. I will take it through water. There's less electronics. It's more robust. It's more forgiving with the driveline because I already know the driveline. With the Prado, it's more luxury. You've got heated seats. You got all the bells and whistles.
Yep.
In the 76, it is just like, it's basically a supervisor's mindset car, really.
Yeah, right.
That's the spec you get. But the attractiveness of this type of vehicle is that it comes bare bones. It's strong. It's rugged. And it's not very comfortable compared to a Prado because it's not an IFS vehicle. You know, independent front suspension on Prado, you got that nice wishbone.
Yeah.
You know, nice and spongy. It has a coil rear. This has leaf rear, coil front, solid rear. So it's rigid. Until you put weight in it, it's very, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, with the new setup, it gets around the city pretty quick.
Yeah. And what, I know we touched on it last week as well, but just for an update, the price of a brand new 76 is roughly 75?
So mine was 72, but then I had delivery charge and then you got the government tax, stamp duty, because I think it goes above that threshold of the luxury tax, I think. I don't know. It ended up costing me 88 to drive away.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a fair bit of coin for what you get.
Yep.
But what people don't see is what you don't get. I mean, what you do get is a robust vehicle. You can't get anything else that has a front rear diff lock, a solid front and rear axle with the proven engine, proven gearbox. The name itself it sings rugged reliability. Look, a Prado sings the same thing, but not to that level.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the reliable car you'll take to the bush. A Prado, yes, you can do that too. But there are some things that can happen to a Prado, which have happened on some tag-along tours. A little bit of dirt gets into a sensor, and then all of a sudden the car goes into limp mode in a sort of behind-the-scenes limp mode.
Yeah.
So one particular occasion, the ABS sensors got all dirtied or damaged. And this guy, the guy's name was Chris. He had the Prado, really wicked setup Prado. He's actually on the modified show in one of the episodes. Yep. He was in four-wheel drive low, and we were down in the far east of the southwest.
That spot.
Yeah, not a bad spot, that one. Plenty of things go wrong down there. And this situation, he slid off the track. We winched him back on, mud on the sensor. Later, he took it out of low range and put it to high range, but couldn't get back into low range when he needed it because it had a sensor issue.
Right.
Which means that every time he takes a step backwards, he can't go forward again.
Right.
So if he left it in low range, he would have low range the whole trip. But because he went to high range, he couldn't go back to low range. Had he gone to two-wheel drive...
That's it.
Two-wheel drive.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, it'd be towing him around a lot.
Yeah. Not show over, but... Yeah, right. So the
less things that go wrong.
Yeah, the ruggedness of the 70 series, if that's going to be your go, is good. Do you think it'll be... Do you think... Now, I'm not sure what Toyota are going to do if the plan is to phase out the V8 completely. But
I'd say it is.
You say it would be. Yeah. And whatever that timing is, I'm not sure. And I don't know if
I think
you have an idea.
I think the time
might
is going to...
help with my question.
Yeah, I think the time is going to be aligned with when the mines figure out what they're going to do for underground. Because the only reason why that V8's still around
is because... The gearing they want, down or something. Yeah.
Yeah, because they actually lock the car into first gear low.
Right.
So they can't change the gear
can't
at
go
all.
Any, yeah, okay.
So it's locked in.
That might be good for me without the manual license.
Yeah, you won't be going very, very fast though.
Yeah, but I won't stall.
So there's something to do with the brakes underground. They just don't want to touch brakes. They don't want to rely on the brakes, because once you do that, then the brakes, they're just fingered pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
So that's why with a 2.8 automatic, you got to use the brakes. You have to rely on the brakes with an automatic vehicle. There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
And that's the only downfall to an auto.
That's got me another two-part question now.
Okay.
So first part, it doesn't answer my question, but it helps with it. Do you see the 2.8 litre, say, excluding the mines, general public, four-wheel drivers, city slickers like me driving around to the shops and back, do you see the 2.8 litre overtaking the V8? Once there's enough on the road and people start to figure out, they listen to this, they realise how well the 2.8 litre is performing, do you think they will overtake sales of the V8?
I think it's a bit of an open-ended question, and the answer is going to be a bit open-ended. It's going to take a long time to get that many 2.8s out, because the V8's been around for a long time, over 10 years, over 15 years maybe even. So there are new cars coming out from Toyota as well, like the Prado and the Hilux. They're coming out with 48-volt battery system. Now, they're not called hybrids. I don't know why. They call them like a generator thing off it or something. So it's got a 48-volt battery, a 2.8-litre engine, the same engine, but it's got that 48-volt. How it helps the vehicle, I don't 100% understand or know all that stuff yet, but I just know that's coming out.
Right.
I've got my name on a dealership saying I want to test drive this car, because I'm quite excited about it. Now, if that variation comes out and that's quite successful, I'd imagine that that's just going to naturally go into the 76, the 70 range, which means we'll have the 48-volt battery and the 2.8 later. And the reason why I'm excited about it, because I'm excited about when I heard about that, is it's going to change the game when it comes to vehicle electrics. Because using 12 volt, you need cables as thick as my thumb for some things.
Yep.
However, with 48 volt, the same cable doing the same thing can be thinner than my pinky.
Yeah, righto.
And you'll be able to run a house solar panel on the bloody thing, because 48 volt panel. So it's going to change a lot of that stuff. So a lot of these companies are going to have to, you know, start working on how they're going to keep up with the 48 volt, because that's going to be a massive thing, I reckon, when all this stuff comes out.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people will probably go,
48 volt and then have like a like an inverter that downgrades it to a 12 volt or something.
Yep.
But I would start making accessories for 48 volt.
So is that one battery?
I'm not sure.
Like, is it
yeah.
the Monster or is it?
It could be two batteries paired up to make the 48
yeah,
volt.
Okay.
Yeah, it could even be four batteries. I doubt it'd be four batteries, but it could be. So yeah, I'm not actually sure. I don't know. I don't know enough about it yet.
Yeah.
But all I know is it's quite exciting. Because having full electric cars, Australia's not ready for that.
Yeah.
Especially we're talking four-wheel driving, going bush, going camping. How are you going to charge your car?
Yeah.
And people are already struggling to go from my brother-in-law up in the wheat belt. One of his neighbors has an electric car, and it takes hours to charge this thing. So he's got to charge to go to Perth, and then he's going to charge it in Perth to get back. And it takes hours.
Yep.
So having a hybrid car makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a phase going into it.
Yep. Now that I've got so many more questions now, but the other one that I was going to ask you is the handbrake the same as the old 70 series? When you started talking about brakes, that's what triggered me on that. And then you started talking about other stuff and now I'm going nuts. But I remember the handbrake question.
The handbrake is fucking terrible.
Okay.
The same as before. Pardon my French.
That's the worst thing you said about the whole car.
No, well, there's actually more things that are terrible about it, and I can jump into those now if you like.
We've probably got to balance this out a little bit.
And that's the thing. There are some things that are
pretty shit about it. Like every car, though.
And I'm glad there is, because not because of having those things, because if I'm going to keep that car, if I keep it, I'm going to upgrade these things, because the stereo, I can't see a goddamn thing when I'm driving. It's like, it's this milky, hazy, it's like they left, you know, when you get a new phone or a new tablet.
Oh, yeah. It's got a little protector on it still.
Numerous times during the first week, I was trying to, can I pick at this thing? Is it still on or what? What's going on? Because you can't see it.
Right.
The sunlight comes through, it gets worse. And then at night, you think it gets better. Nah. It probably gets worse. Because anything that sort of lights up from the side, like street lights that come in and you're reversing, it has this like, it vignettes like white. So it's really hard to see.
Yeah, right.
Out of the camera. And when you're driving and you're looking down to see, oh, what song, Princess, you're like really, yeah.
You got to
really
especially
look.
Especially your eyesight. I mean,
I'll go prescription. So.
It's not the greatest.
Yeah. So that's pretty crap. Look, the handbrake is absolutely terrible. And it's the same as before, but you have a parking pin now.
Oh.
Instead of, you know, in the auto.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I was like, parking pin, you're getting out and throwing something through the wheels. No, I'm with you now.
It's just
us normal people are used to.
That parking pin is going to get a good workout, though, I'm telling you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, the manual has one as well.
Well, it does. Yeah. And here's the thing, though. First gear, has yours slowly crept down a driveway before?
In first?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Is that something I should be worried about? Because my handbrake has crapped itself.
Okay. If you're... Yeah.
Like yours.
Particularly if your car's really heavy. When my 79 used to be 4.2 ton, and if I load it up with a bit of weight now, it'll still do it. You park it, and the weight of the car's enough to slowly move the pistons, and then it'll turn over. Oh. It gets to this tipping point where it goes tick, 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 and it'll sit there for a bit. Tick, tick, tick. I'm not kidding. There was once I parked it, went inside, emptied the bin from inside like half an hour, hour later. Might have been 2 hours. Walked out and I'm like, why is my car halfway down the driveway? And then I stood there for a bit. And then I heard tick, tick, tick.
Jeez.
Tick, tick, tick. So it's just moving like a little bit at a time. So I then hopped in. I then put it in reverse. Still does it. I then put it in low range. Does it faster.
And is there no correction from Toyota on this? Like, that's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. I'm not
ragging Toyota out, but if it's still...
It's a very, very slow process, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
anyway,
don't put your swag in front of a car ever, especially a Toyota.
Yeah. Yeah,
do
good
not.
Point. Good tip.
Yeah. Because, you know, 4 hours later, you'll be like, what's clamping down on my leg? It's your car, man.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
And then a me who can't drive a manual has to try and save you.
out of gear before we started.
Very good. Now, Jaden's just dropped in the website pricing. So, 76 series Workmate wagon, 75. And then I'm assuming...
Did you put in the postcode, though, together?
The postcode?
Yeah, to get the pricing, you've got to have the postcode in.
No, this is just from the Toyota website. So, like, the prices will differ, but this is just for straight and then from the manufacturer.
Okay. So, there's going to be some add-ons, like you're saying.
Yeah. Well, there's WO tax as well.
Yeah, so statutory charges or other on-road costs not included. And then there's a $1,500 option for front and rear diff locks.
Yeah.
And $675 option for premium paint. So if you really want,
it sounds like option Ronnie didn't get the option.
Yeah, there's a front and rear diff lock option for $1,500, a little add-on.
Yeah, but that's if you add it on to your Workmate.
No, right. That's I don't know. That's an add-on for.
That must
be an add-on for 79 series GX cab chassis and a 79 series double cab chassis.
Okay, yeah, that's a GX.
Yeah,
that's a GX. Gotcha.
And the Workmate. What's the GX? The GX is like the
in-between guy.
Oh.
That you don't hear of
I've got that in the 200 series, just single the GX, cab. But that's the base model 200 series.
Yeah, it's just in a single cab.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So what's that then? That's 78. So the Workmate 76 is 75 and a half on these, obviously excluding those other costs.
What's a Prado worth now?
Well, I thought you'd never ask. Let me just get to my...
So, I remember when I bought that Hilux in 2020? When I bought that Hilux, they had just pushed up the price by 10 grand, I think.
10 grand?
Yeah, roughly 10 grand. And then since then, they pushed up the price again, another 10 grand. It's just the cost of everything, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's just gone ballistic since COVID and all that stuff as well.
Let me...
I've got 2023 Toyota Land Cruiser Prado GX, $62,830.
I've got a 2023 Toyota Land Cruiser Prado GX, well, obviously 76 drive away.
I've got that for the VX.
And that's a new car to order.
And then I've got a Kakadu for $87,000.
Yeah.
So
when you compare those prices,
60 and 90.
If you're going to use it for the city, you'd be mad to buy... 76.
Yeah.
Unless you are actually going to use it for its intended purpose and what it's built for, you'll be mad to purchase that and then not purchase a Prado.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get way more out of a Prado. It's going to be way more comfortable around town. And you can also get a 7-seater Prado. And when you're saying the VX is you know, it's a no-brainer for most people to get a Prado over a 76.
Yeah.
And I'd say, and then you got the Fortuna as well.
Yeah.
Just that, on the Prado, why is the 76 not dropped its price now that it doesn't have a V8 and it's just a 2.8 litre? Same engine as a Prado, right?
Well,
why hasn't the price dropped? It doesn't have the same amenities. It doesn't have luxury.
It is a good question. Look, the price has dropped when you compare it to a V8.
But now it's just a Prado, right? Like same engine, same kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a Prado with no frills.
Yeah, that's
so
what,
why
oh,
is
actually,
it still think 10 grand more than a Prado?
Maybe the... I don't know. It's an interesting question, but the new Prado is coming out next year. So that will answer the question. What's the price of that going to be?
Mm.
I'd imagine that'll be another 10 grand, which then brings the price pretty close, right? So that's what I'm saying. You're better off if you're going to use it for the city... Get a Prado.
That's got the new look too, that new Prado, doesn't it?
Yeah. So,
I remember that one now.
I mean, so the 250, I mean, like, that's what I call in America, the 250.
The
250. But I think the one...
I thought you meant 250K.
Yeah.
250 series. No.
They've really bumped the price up.
No.
Yeah, righto.
But when you compare those prices, you know, and you keep... If people are still thinking about the 88, well, that's the drive away. So you got to add all this stuff to the Prado as well. You're going to be up around the same. But again, if you're comparing those two, depending on what you want to use them for.
Yep. Well, I feel like there's so much to ask on this, but I don't want to bore everyone with stuff I asked last week and just touch and base. So
we'll keep going.
Have you got any Do you want me to?
Just keep boring the people.
Just for my own
Duggo's rabbit hole.
Yeah. actually, there's one other thing I haven't asked you. Have you modified anything else to it since we last saw it?
Apart from window tints and the armrest.
He's a big deal and he needs to tint the windows to get around.
Mate, it was a bloody fishbowl before. So
yeah, it is actually.
Look, apart from the tyres and... Well, I've got some 33s sitting there.
Yeah, oh, that's right. So they're not on yet?
They're not on yet because I had a problem with the rims. Apparently, I had two rims that were buckled and the tyre shop told me. I didn't even know. I'd taken those rims off for a while anyway and I put these other ones back on the 79.
Yep.
I thought I had to go a zero offset. This is a different story. But it turns out I can legally have negative 25 offset on the 79 series because it's going through all the pit process and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So I needed that because I put the zeros on and started hitting the remote res on the shocks and those things started falling off. And then my sway bar got loose and came off. And then I actually had trouble filming a diff locker video because I had too much travel in a 70 series. Can you believe that shit?
No, I can't believe that.
Too much travel in a 70 series. It was unbelievable. I was like, I can't get this thing to get stuck because the wheels are traveling so much.
If you, just for people that don't know what travel is out there, do you want to explain that just quickly? Because it's not traveling from A to B.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. So up and down, you've got travel on your vehicle. And patrols are known for having wicked travel. And so are Jeeps. And a Jeep Wrangler is probably a good one, like a Jeep Wrangler Rubicon, because it has the sway bar disconnect. You've got a button you can press and then it pops out this pin and then basically drops the sway bar down and then now you're disconnected, you've got more wheel travel. Your wheel can now go further down and further up.
Yep.
So you're basically keeping more contact with the ground.
Yep.
When it comes to the 70 series, they're renowned for not having much flex. Yes. They flex like a lawnmower.
They like will a surfboard. Lift like anything.
Yep, they will lift like anything. And you're seesawing and anyone who drives in a 70 series for the first time, they're usually like, you know, they've got to change their undies.
Yeah.
Essentially, because the angles you get on are ridiculous, but they're not that bad. You're just sitting up really high because Lanka is the king of the road kind of thing. That's how that make you feel sometimes. They also make you feel like you're going to tip over, obviously. So the sway bar connection was damaged from previous trips and that came undone with this other wheel. I don't know how it happened. It just came apart and I had really good wheel travel in a 70 series. I was like, this is ridiculous. This is the most ridiculous problem I've ever had.
Loved the problem.
I know. I loved the problem. But the problem was it was moving so much. It was hitting my remote res and then I had to sort of stop articulating.
Yeah.
Air up and drive home.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. So
there you go. Making a 79 travel.
Yeah, how you make your 79 travel? Yeah, rip out the sway bar. Just don't drive on the highway.
This is the 4WD Podcast driven by Shelter. All right, Ronnie, if you don't mind, mate, it's time for Around the Tyre Pit.
Brought
to you by Maxxis. Got the big trepidor behind me.
And the big 811 behind me. Yeah, there it is.
Which one?
Over there.
Oh,
yeah, the 18.
Big broad shoulders on you, mate. I can't even see it.
Stop it.
Sweater. We didn't get the sweater out. Did you wear that on Christmas Day?
I did. I actually
wore the Maxxis sweater.
I wore it to my mum's house, and as soon as she opened the door, I said, I've got to get this off. It's too hot.
Yeah, it's at 40 degrees.
It was so hot, eh?
Yeah. Going to go back old school. I'm going to shut the laptop. Jaden's going to give us the around the topic questions today. Not that I'll probably be able to help on a 70 series topic, but I'll chime in where I can, or I might just have a snooze.
This is good. It feels like you're closing the lie detector. Every time we talk about this new 70, it's like...
I've been FaceTiming my old man, so I'm just going to say goodbye to him, and there he goes. Yeah,
there we go. All right. See you, that goes down. And don't worry, Ronnie, I've got the lie detector open over this side.
Oh.
So
it's all red over there, actually, at the moment.
Yeah.
There are a lot of red
Which
lights
means
over
we're
there.
Recording.
He can't... Oh, that's good, actually. Good.
Okay, how's the fire sound? All good?
Yeah, I've got it's good. Total fire ban, so
fire,
we're not,
isn't it?
Yeah, we're not lighting a fire.
No, if anyone government listening, we are not having a fire.
Yes.
Wouldn't be around a tyre pit without a fire.
That's true. Around the tyre pit. Genius.
Be nice if those Maxxis tyres burnt, but they don't. Too good.
Nice save.
Am
I allowed to have a drink of water?
Oh, yeah.
While this is on? Thanks.
Yeah, of course, mate. Oh, sorry.
No, go for it. I'll be back.
Here we go. All right. This one from Stinkhound. Test drove a 2.8 auto dual cab at Grand Toyota Wangara today. It was bloody awesome to drive. Interested to see what some weight does to them. Ronnie, do you have any... Have you had any weight in yours?
Apart from a 60-kilo dog and a full family, not too much weight. Look, I've had a bit of stuff in there, but weight is to come. Weight, there will be weight.
Oh, there's a bit of more weight. Wow.
There may be some concrete blocks coated in plastic.
We'll see if you agree with this one. 4x4 CAA. I drove one last weekend, and I have to say it didn't lack any power on the beach. Just bloody uncomfortable in stock form. They bounce around everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Don't they just? Yeah, yeah. They do. Look, until you put a bit of weight in them, look, yours probably drives pretty good, Jaden, because you've got the weight in it. But it will drive exactly like yours if it was just unladen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely without any weight in them, with the right tire pressure and the weight, they're not too bad. But if you don't have one or the other, they're pretty rough and rugged.
Yeah, pretty...
It does feel rough, just for me to chime in and say something while we're talking about this. But it was, even just the little speed humps around here when we had a drive.
Yeah.
You feel them.
Yeah, yeah. And the passengers in the back feel it even more.
Yeah, jumping.
But it's nice and stiff though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a good drive. Just noticed it on the bumps.
Yeah.
It's like a full drive go-kart.
Yeah. King of the road, mate.
No suspension, and but sitting a little higher.
Yeah, you are up high. It was nice.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
You want to chime in about King of the Road and your 70 series?
I like a little bit, yeah, but that's all right.
You had a good giggle about that one before. I know the feeling.
Well, you wouldn't know, don't you?
I don't.
CB167, I've got a 2.8 Troopy arriving in February. Be interested to see how far the new 76 will go without lockers engaged. So have you had any...
Oh, great question.
It's a double parter.
Yeah, yeah. So can I answer now?
Yeah, go
okay.
For it, yeah.
Mate, you're going to love this because I think if the workmate has the same safety system, it would do. You'd think it would do. The new version has this thing that works in the background. It's kind of like A-Track. Have you ever heard of A-Track? It's like in FJ is quite famous for it. They made A-Track notable.
Heads Will Roll. Is that A-Track? Yeah. Yeah, I know that.
I don't know that one. I know the song though. Anyway, so A-Track, it's like this assistant technology in the background. Jeep has a very similar thing, only works in low range. So in high range, you want to turn that stability control off because it's painful. It gets you stuck. In low range, it turns it off automatically, but there's something that works in the background and it does this wizardry. All it does really is just applies brake to the wheels that are spinning. If they're spinning like freely, let's say if you lift the wheel or something, it'll pulse the brake, and then the wheels that have contact with the ground, they'll then move a bit,
right?
Because you know, all the torque and power is not escaping out of the least resistance anymore because it's pulsing. That does work to a degree. However, when the humps are really deep and there's like a bit of a distance between it, you need more momentum, which means that you can defeat the obstacles, but not without a higher risk. So it's probably more fun as well, but you're risking your driveline a bit more and you're risking also panels. If you're on like a section where you really want to be going as slow as possible and crawling over, you don't want to be bouncing because you might fall off the edge of a cliff or something, that's where your lockers come in because then you put them in and you crawl up slowly.
Yep, right.
But it does have this system that can help you go forward. And I want to do some more testing on it. We're going to get the vehicle bogged and stuff as well and then go from there.
So he's got one coming, does he, Jaden? Well, I forgot the name.
Yeah,
there's
a few. Yeah.
And just another one. But keep going, mate. Keep going on this. We can come back.
No. I just forgot why he asked.
Why
he has? Yeah, he's got a Troopy coming.
He's got a 2.8 litre Trooper.
Oh, cool. I was thinking about Heads Will Roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one. Nothing for me.
What's the second part of his question?
The second part is the Prado owner's manual advises towing in fourth, and he just wants to know if it's the same with the new 70 series 2.8. And actually, we were talking about this last week, Ronnie, because I towed with the 76 up north,
mm-hmm.
and I was told to tow in fourth.
Yeah, so I've been told by numerous mechanics to, in a 70 series manual, you can tow in fifth. It's a lot safer than other vehicles. Other vehicles that have, look, I'm not going to claim I know an expert on gearboxes here, but in the 70 series in particular, that fifth gear is on the same row or something like that. It's in a spot where it's tolerable to tow with fifth, and I've towed with fifth in low range, high range, pretty much everywhere. The only time I need to knock it back and forth is, you know, got a big hill coming up. And if you don't want your engine to labor too much. So with the auto, it has power and haul mode. So my thinking would be when you press the power haul mode, because with the experience of driving with that, it drops down a gear, holds the gears longer. It's probably going to take the sixth gear out of the equation and just take you up to fifth gear, which means you still have an overdrive and you're still towing. I think that's what it's going to do.
So you're saying you could stay in drive, so just automatic drive, power haul.
Yeah,
and it'll be
it probably
the
won't,
car will tell you what you need. Basically.
Yeah, yeah, it probably won't even go past fifth gear.
Yeah,
it might downhill if you're going 130 or something stupid.
Yeah,
I don't know in a situation you'd be doing that. So
yeah, not in WA anyway.
No, maybe in the Northern Territory though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
righto.
Because that's 130.
Yeah. I missed the end part of it, but just wanted to know whether the tow slash haul setting if that negates the four thing, but we've kind of covered that.
Yeah. So that pretty much sorts it out. I think it's just like if you want to tow, press that button, it's gonna hold the gears longer. It's going to shift at a different time, probably at a better time, because I have noticed when I drive it just around the city, it likes to sit like really low in the gears, like the RPM is like right down. It almost feels like it's gonna stall sometimes. That's what it feels like. You feel this little sort of rough, slight vibration. Not enough to call it a vibration, but I am calling it a vibration, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like there, but, and you feel like you need to give it a bit more, but I've been trying to hold it to see what it does. And all it does is I can watch on a fuel thing, that meter that you put your foot down, it goes up and down. I've got it down to 11.3 now, and that's after being at Lancelin and out of Mundaring and stuff. So it's pretty good on juice. Again, no weights. No wind resistance yet, apart from being a brick already. So time will tell.
Yep.
It's good.
Are you thinking like, are you going to do like a roof conversion on this or just keeping it real simple?
Nah, I wouldn't do a roof conversion on this vehicle. The Troopy has that. As much as I like roof conversions, I also do love the swag. And I also want to, this vehicle I think is more valuable for my viewers as well as a wagon. Because you don't have to have a 76 series to follow a wagon build. You just have to have a wagon. And a 76 being so simple and basic, it's probably going to cater for most people's questions and needs when it comes to fitting it out. And I do want to fit it out, but I'm not sure if I'm 100% going to do it yet. But I likely will to a certain degree. I don't want to go balls to the wall, just, you know, build a monstrosity. It might happen. Eventually, but to start with, I want to take a gradual, because it's a bit like the Hilux build, how a lot of people love that build because it was reachable, it was affordable, it was a lot of stuff people could do themselves, you know. So that's kind of where I want to take this build, and then from there I'll see after that. Now we'll have to lift it obviously and put bigger tires on it to test the 35-inch test. But I'm likely to put it back down to 33s.
I reckon we should put a wager on this.
Yeah, a little bet going on.
I don't bet on these things.
I feel like you're going to lose your marbles with this thing. Go all out.
I'm already halfway
And I
there.
Would not blame you. Absolutely. Have you got more? Go for yours, because I'll ask mine at the end.
I've got one.
How many people have bought one so far? Like, they've got one coming. Like, there's three people so far, yeah?
Yeah, a few people have got one. They've ordered one and they've got some on the way. There's a few, and there's also a few camera update questions for you, Duggo. But obviously you've already gone ahead and bought
a camera. Yes, I did.
We won't read those then.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but a few people have bought them and have got them on the way. There's a guy up in the Pilbara who's bought one, is coming, and he sent in a question that was just about how he's worried about bull bars. because there's a massive weight on bull bars or something up there.
Oh, okay. So massive weight on bull bars, yeah. Look, the Toyota has a bull bar. There's probably a massive weight on that. Being Australia, if you are traveling remote, you're probably going to put a bull bar on it.
Does the old, like a bull bar off the old 76 or 79 front, that doesn't fit this, does it?
No, it doesn't fit. And it might be for a couple of reasons. Might be the mounting points, but if it's not just the mounting points, probably like the indicator location.
Yeah, of course, yep.
I believe that they'll have to do some kind of crash testing with it and stuff, yep. Or at least simulations, I think they do.
Yep.
I know ARB have brought out one, which seems a bit slower than what they normally would, but there's a couple other companies that I start bringing them out, and the thing is, like, it's probably, if you're a person who's going to make bull bars for this car, and you get your ass in the gear and you get one made now, well, all the others are going to have like orders waiting, and probably some of them won't get it for 6 months. It's a good business to be in if you're going to make a bull bar.
Mm, yeah.
That's all I'm saying there, you know.
That leads me to one last question.
Yeah.
How does Toyota send out the schematics and stuff to these companies to start making bull bar designs? How do they get them out so
I don't think early? So, because Toyota are quite tight-knit with their own accessories.
So how does like ARB, TJM, other brands?
Nah, they wouldn't. They'd have to buy the car. Or they have to do some under-the-table deal with a Toyota engineer or something, which would be quite risky for a Toyota engineer, I'm guessing.
It's all figurative, obviously.
It's all, yeah, I have heard no rumours of that happening, but I'd imagine that will happen. Like, every industry's got something weird going on.
Four-wheel drive mafia.
Yeah.
Four-wheel drive mafia.
Wow. We're learning a lot about the industry.
It's probably a lot more innocent than what we...
Yeah, it's probably a lot more innocent.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to think
about. It definitely is.
There's a lot of stuff.
I just thought there might be something like, you know, a little deal like...
Well, it always feels like they're ready to go with when a new car comes out, the new Ranger or whatever it is, the new Prado. I'm sure they're going to be pretty much by the time someone brings one into them.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they've got an accessory for it.
So, when it comes to, say, for instance, Ford Ranger, the latest Ford Ranger that I test drove, they have collaborated with a company like ARB.
Oh, okay, righto.
Because they then sell it as OEM or OME. OEM. They sell them as OEM parts, so you can buy like the compressor and it fits somewhere in particular to have a bracket for it, the bull bar and everything. So Ford are very, they're more collaborative in that way, which is cool. I kind of wish Toyota were that way as well. It's not like they're going to miss out on their business. Like, Toyota's still going to make bulk on their cars alone, but also people are still going to buy the Toyota bull bar and stuff. But if they were to collab with a company like that, weird and wonderful things could come from that, but I think they're just so global, you know. I think maybe that's Ford Australia. I think maybe they're doing that in America as well with ARB. I don't know, but it would be cool to see more of that. So some car manufacturers definitely do probably help out some of these businesses, you know, big brands, because then they can get accessories out for them.
Yep.
Because all it is at the end of the day is more advertising, right?
Yeah.
For that car, you know?
You'd think it'd be quite a good thing to do.
Yeah. I just wish I got commission for every Toyota that was sold
through
my channel.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be nice.
But then it wouldn't. You wouldn't be as honest as you are. You wouldn't be able to, would you?
You
just wouldn't be able to say the things that you say. Not that you've said anything bad about it, but...
Yeah, I think... It would depend. Either that could continue if it was a thing, or it just wouldn't continue. Because if I get restricted on what I can and can't do, then I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Because it loses all its credibility and stuff, and then it loses my appeal to even talking about. I don't like being told what I can and can't say about things.
Yeah.
You know, of course, if someone gives me a product that hasn't been released yet and I'm testing it and it fails, I will keep my mouth shut, because they're trying to develop a product and I'm helping them with feedback. So then they will go back to the drawing board and make sure it's good. The worst thing you can do, and some people have done this in the industry, is they've been asked to do the same thing and they've said yes. So they've taken on a responsibility to test the product. Then the product fails and then they tell the world about it. And it's like, mate, this you were there for this purpose to test this product, and now you've just spilled the beans that this product is not good enough when it was in a testing phase.
That's a good point.
Until you have tested it, you can't expect it to be 100%, right? So,
that's a good point. I would have thought just like, unless you're testing the product, it breaks, you tell them the problems, they don't fix it and they release it anyway.
Yeah, that's something that's not cool.
No.
Yeah. But if they generally do that, then, you know, they will make an effort to fix it because if I can break it, anyone can break it, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone drives as hard as you do.
Oh, there's a few people, I know that
going back to Torbs here, aren't we?
No, we're not going back to Torbs here. I don't want to mention his name. He's a bloody good bloke, and if he's listening, he knows I'm talking about him. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well, that's the fire pit done from my side. I know you've got some stuff, mate.
That's good. I've got two fun ones actually. Just while we're talking about the big manufacturers there and who they may be partnering with, does anyone here know what ARB actually stands for?
Oh, it's the brothers' names. It's
Anthony Ronald Brown.
There you go.
Did you know that, Jaden?
I would know, but as soon as he said names, I just thought Andrew Richard something.
Fair enough. All right,
it could work.
Test
it could
work, right? Like, still.
What does TJM stand for?
I used to know this one, but don't know.
Are we taking a guess? Take a guess.
I'll give you a tip. It's names as well.
Yeah. Tom and Jerry. manufacturing.
Tim and Jim Morrison.
Tim and Jim Mowing.
Jim Morrison. The Doors.
That is the first thing that came to my head.
Taylor, Jones and Molinow. I don't know if I've said that right, but that was I didn't know that.
There you go.
Interesting. Family names or brothers' names and their...
The ARB one's the brothers.
Right.
I'm not sure about where the TJM one originated
from. So here's my next question. What are we calling our company when we start one? We've got...
LJR.
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 LJR, TJM and ARB.
That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
LJR.
LJR.
LJR or...
All right, so this whole podcast was just to announce...
DD&E.
DD&E. EDD.
DDE? Is that a wrestling move?
DED.
Oh, not sure, mate. Yeah. Righto. What do you think, boys? You're probably...
I'm voting for LDR.
LDR?
LDR rolls off the tongue pretty good.
LDR.
LDR.
Yeah.
But what are we manufacturing here?
Just everything they do, we'll just do it a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently, you only have to, like, when forward driving stuff, the patent, obviously there's patents for...
Yeah.
Products and stuff, you only have to change it by 3%.
Three?
Oh, so we could do a Series 70. See what I did there?
Oh, yeah, you haven't checked.
Okay. I know.
That works. It works.
A 71 and a 77. The two numbers haven't used yet.
Dang, there we go. Snoozy lose. That's 3%. Surely.
Yep, snoozy lose. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, please. But I've been told that it was 3%. You have to change.
Hope you're not wrong.
And that's it.
Well, yeah, actually, this reminds me of something.
So not that we're doing this.
Similar products out there.
Yeah, by the way.
So, Rafa asked me how I'm enjoying the 72.8 series. And I was like, where are you going with this, mate? He's like, oh, I'm just seeing if this is catching on. I said, it's not going to catch on, mate.
72.8
litre.
I like it, Rafa. Anything Rafa says, I like.
So yeah, I'm a big Rafa fan, so I like that.
All right, LDR, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ronnie. 70 series update. Thank you, Liam. It's all about you. Thank you, mate. So we appreciate picking your brains. Jaden, well done. Southern River Band, Cal, he'll see us out. You know where to find us. I'm just going to get our things up because I'm not on social media and I need to know. It's the 4-Wheel Drive podcast on Instagram and all of our episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. All the best over East. Hope everyone's all okay over there.
And Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.